And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. And we're going to get right on into our commentary for this week. Our commentary is written by Oak, an Earth First activist back in Massachusetts, actually in the northern end of the Connecticut River Valley. And this week's commentary is...
Terror and Tara. Returning to Manhattan a few days following the atrocity that took place at the World Trade Center, I found myself juxtaposed between the horror to the south of the island and an unexpected source of restoration to the north. Watching ominous smoke and ash still rising from the space where the Trade Towers once stood was, for this New Yorker, a deeply troubling experience. We had come to the foot of the George Washington Bridge on an overgrown path that skirts the eastern shore of the Hudson River. It's a scruffy, urban sort of nature there, full of invasives, litter, and no doubt out of ecological whack. A fitting place for a species such as ours, creatures who would participate in or be subjected to outrageous acts far beyond the natural constraints and capacities of all the other inhabitants on this planet. Yet, such places present rare opportunities for city dwellers to experience at least some semblance of reality. Pavement, brickwork, traffic, and the frenetic energy of city life are, after all, a fabrication. They screen us from that which truly sustains our existence. Throughout my life, most of it spent in New York, I've identified with such islands of the natural world. They are like small gardens of refuge, not quite parks, but not mere weed piles either. While the flora and fauna seem distant and out of balance with their intended biological context, these places exist as bridges to creation. They flourish in spite of the adversity. But any sense of relief gained from our walk through the woods was soon buried by the sight of that frightening, vacant space downriver. The view was haunting. Some 6,000 lives were lost down in the Battery in a matter of an hour or so, all in the name of a concept, be it political or religious. It was an assault on human lives and their constructs, but also on creation itself. I was born in the city, raised in its suburbs, and have always identified strongly with it, even while knowing it to be a fabrication fraught with error. The tragedy of September 11 felt as if there had been a strike launched upon my own history, as well as the more obvious one directed at living, breathing people. How would I deal with this crisis and the confusion and dismay surrounding it? Unbeknownst to me, part of the answer lay further uptown, amidst some of the oldest trees I have ever encountered. I have traveled in and around Manhattan Island for over half a century, often passing by its wooded northern end, without actually ever having entered it. It was always gratifying just to know that some of the once verdant woodland that covered what must have been paradise centuries ago remained in place. I have read that the word Manhattan means island of general intoxication in the Algonquin language. Surely the temperate climate, babbling brooks, abundant wildlife, and deep-wooded glades were once a source of awe, a general intoxication. Today, for the most part, that elation has been transformed into the excitement of city living, an entirely different form of inebriation. Be that as it may, there remains this small enclave of the original Manhattan at Inwood Park, a place that appears to live on somewhat as it was when the Wappingers dwelt there. In fact, local legend has it that the infamous deal struck by the Dutch to purchase Manhattan for $24 worth of trinkets took place beneath a tulip tree at a Wappinger village there. That would have been the first recorded international trade to take place on this land. Curious that we should now, in the wake of such a cruel act as the one visited upon the people in the World Trade Center, finally enter beneath the giant canopy of the ancient trees, after all those years of worshipping them from afar. We had not walked more than a few hundred yards when I realized how old most of the trees around me were. As one who has spent the past decade involved with efforts to defend the few remaining old-growth stands in the northeastern U.S. from destruction by the forces of greed and ignorance, I've had the privilege of being in the company of experts who helped me understand the science and sensibilities that define our rooted elders. At Inwood Park, it seemed I'd found myself among them again. The girth and height of the oak, tulip, sycamore, and other species was awe-inspiring. Their majestic presence drew me out of my earlier bewilderment into being in conscious company with the primordial emissaries of wildness. The transition was literally stunning. We scaled the westernmost heights, past caves said to have been inhabited by native people as late as the 1920s, and passing more giant trees, we reached the ridge overlooking the ever-flowing Hudson River. From here, the destruction downtown was no longer visible. All one could see was a vast panoramic sweep of the river and the palisades on its far side. To our backs stood those giants of the eastern woodlands, still rooted in the polluted soil of this ancient land, still breathing this now tainted air, still living as testament to the power of creation, even while suffering from the ills of our so-called civilization. If those wondrous specimens of life can prevail here, then why not some of us? Yeah, at least that's how this oak sees it. For Earth First Radio.
Back to the news. Agreement cancels timber sale bidding to protect goshawks. On September 5th, 2000, this would be last year, the Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club filed suit over U.S. Forest Service goshawk plan guiding logging on 8 million acres of forest in Arizona and New Mexico. We intend to seek an injunction against all logging within the southwestern region of the Forest Service until a new and improved goshawk conservation plan is developed. As part of ongoing settlement negotiations, the Forest Service has agreed to cancel the contract bidding process on the Dry Park timber sale. Dry Park, located on the Kaibab, located on the Kaibab National Forest, would log between 6 to 8 million board feet on the Kaibab Plateau near the north rim of the Grand Canyon. The Kaibab Plateau contains the most extensive stands of old-growth ponderosa pine forest in the southwest and the densest population of goshawks in all of North America. And that came from the Center for Biological Diversity.
Norway fishery minister promotes tourist seal hunt. Norway's fishery minister said tourist hunting parties would solve a seal overpopulation problem on the coast and might be hit with holidaymakers with guns. Sven Lugvinson told Norwegian fishing newspaper Fiskeren that seal hunting vacationers could help Norway meet its culling quotas and reduce pressure on fishing stocks. Seal hunting in the wild Norwegian coastal nature should be sold as an exclusive product to tourists, the paper quoted Lugvinson as saying. That could be a hit! Lugvinson said there is an imbalance in the ecological system and called for control over the North Sea seal population. Norway says that despite their cute and cuddly image, the seals deplete fish stocks and damage fishing nets. We cannot just blindly follow the views of French actress and animal rights campaigner Brigitte Bardot. We have to take out more animals, the Norwegian minister said. Norwegian coal was restarted in 1995 despite an international outcry led by animal rights campaigners. So far, only half the quota allowed for this year's hunt has been met. The hunters claim they kill baby seals in the most humane way by striking them on the head with an ice pick. Oslo says seals are a renewable resource which should be harvested to preserve an ecological balance in the oceans. Seal hunting was banned in 1989 after widely seen television footage of blood-soaked hunts sparked protests and prompted the European Union to ban seal skin imports. Norway has also been criticized by environmentalists and animal rights groups for hunting whales and wolves. Thank you.
I can see the brochure now. It's like, when you need to get away from it all, come to Norway and kill a seal.
Bring a gun.
67,000 people who commented on the Yellowstone Bison Management Plan kept in the dark about grazing allotment on national forest land. And this story comes from Cold Mountain Cold Rivers out of Montana. An alliance of Yellowstone bison advocates criticized the U.S. Forest Service for keeping the public in the dark on their plans to renew a grazing allotment on national forest land that provides traditional habitat for Yellowstone's wild bison herd. The groups say the U.S. Forest Service failed to properly inform 67,520 people who commented on the plan developed by the state of Montana and several federal agencies, including Yellowstone National Park and the U.S. Forest Service. The Forest Service has abrogated its responsibility to the American public and to America's bison by avoiding public scrutiny of this critical issue and by downplaying the significance of its decision on the future of cows and wildlife on public lands, states Michael Markarian, executive vice president of the Fund for Animals. It's unfortunate that the Gallatin National Forest reissued the grazing permit last fall. They could have just let the allotment rest, says Jim Cofield of the Ecology Center. And while the Interagency Bison Management Plan shortchanged bison habitat on the Gallatin outside of Yellowstone National Park, the Gallatin has a clear duty under the National Forest Management Act. They must provide suitable habitat and viable populations for all species, including bison, and Horse Butte is prime bison habitat. Unquote. On September 28, 2001, the Hebgen Lake District of the Gallatin National Forest issued a scoping letter to 125 parties, quote, seeking public comments on our proposal to continue livestock grazing on the Horse Butte allotment through reissuance of a term grazing permit, unquote. The grazing allotment permits 147 cow or calf pairs and 30 horses to range on 2,065 acres of national forest land on Horse Butte Peninsula near West Yellowstone, Montana. The annual allotment returned $750.60 to the U.S. Treasury. Horse Butte provides winter range and spring calving habitat for Yellowstone's migrating bison herds, and is also the staging grounds for Montana Department of Livestock bison haze, capture, and slaughter operations. Since the mid-1980s, over 3,000 buffalo have been killed to control brucellosis. The government estimates it will cost $2.6 to $2.9 million annually to implement its 15-year plan. Quote, the federal government and the state of Montana are spending millions of our taxpayer dollars to implement their plan. Surely they have some money left over to keep the public informed of how they are living up to their agreement, unquote, states Daryl Geist of Cold Mountain Cold Rivers. In a letter to U.S. Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth, the Fund for Animals, Schubert & Associates, the Ecology Center, Inc., and Cold Mountain Cold Rivers requested the Public Lands Agency a... invite the participation of the 67,520 people who commented on the bison management plan for the state of Montana and Yellowstone National Park, and restart the public comment period. B. Develop a website to facilitate public involvement in the forest proposal to reissue a grazing allotment for Horse Butte. And finally, hold public meetings in West Yellowstone and Bozeman, Montana, and in other communities that have demonstrated an interest in this proposal. For over a decade, the Forest Service has been complicit in the destruction of Yellowstone bison for the sole benefit of ranchers and a handful of cattle, states D.J. Schubert of Schubert & Associates. The Forest Service has an opportunity to ensure that bison, not cattle, are given priority on public lands outside of Yellowstone National Park and must engage all interested parties in this debate. Anything less is unacceptable. And for more information on that, or if you are one of those 67,520 people who commented and got the shaft from the Forest Service, you can get in touch with Cold Mountain Cold Rivers and by snail mail. They're at P.O. Box 7941 in Missoula, Montana, zip code 59807. Their phone number is area code 406-728-0867. And Cold Mountain Cold Rivers has a website, and that's at www.wildrockies.org/cmcr.
And you want to run that address by one more time for those folks who are a little slow on the pen?
Pick up those pens, and the address for Cold Mountain Cold Rivers is Post Office Box 7941, Missoula, Montana, zip code 59807.
All right. And just want a little aside, there was a little message that came through that the Montana Department of Livestock, the National Park Service, several sheriff's deputies and a bunch of other folks mounted this tremendous military campaign a couple of days ago to kill one old buffalo bull. And buffalo bulls are incapable of transmitting brucellosis to anybody, and yet they still shot this old bull. So
it's another case of cows with guns. Or...
All right.
Okay, our time cruising along pretty nice. We've got 250 more species need federal protection. United States Fish and Wildlife Service, the USFWS, published recently a revised candidate notice of review naming 252 species of plant animals that may warrant protection under the Endangered Species Act, including 26 new candidate species. The notice includes the 35 domestic animal and plant species that are now proposed for addition to the list of endangered and threatened wildlife and plants. The USFS publishes the list to solicit new information on the status of candidate species and threatens their survival. The USFS biologists rely on a variety of sources to determine whether a species may require listing under the Act, including contributions from private, university, and government scientists and other citizens, as well as local, state, and federal land management and planning agencies. The notice last October in October 99 also informs the public, which specifies the USFS is considering the proposing for protection, encourages conservation, and promotes development that accommodates the need of special candidate species. For our endangered species program to be effective, we need to communicate with the public, said Marshall Jones, USFS acting director. The notice provides information about the threats our fish, wildlife, and plants face. We hope it will focus more attention on imperiled species so we can work in partnership with the American people to conserve and recover them for the future. The USFS has removed 75 species from the candidate list since it was last revised in 99. Of the 62 species removed in this notice, 54 were given protection under the Endangered Species Act as threatened or endangered species. 4 species were removed from the candidate list because they were found to be extinct.
Bummer.
Bummer. Two because of changes in their taxonomic classification, and 2 because conservation agreements reduced the threats to the species. Among the species added to the new candidate list are the island fox, southern Idaho ground squirrel, yellow-billed cuckoo, western sage grouse, sand dune lizard, I just informed that's a grouse, sand dune lizard, Georgetown salamander, Ozark hellbender, yellow cheek darter, Zuni bluehead sucker, phantom cave snail, and Wolge checkerspot butterfly and slender moonwort. This was brought by the Environment News Services. Thank you.
And we're not going to grouse too much about your pronunciation.
Now to Afghanistan. Afghan war and wildlife. The unrelenting U.S. bombing on Afghanistan is playing havoc with the biodiversity of the war-devastated country, which has been a prime sanctuary for a variety of migratory birds and wild animals. The World Wildlife Fund has estimated 85% decrease in the number of migratory birds due to airstrikes coming from Siberia and the Central Asian republics to Pakistan and India via Afghanistan. To gauge the impact of the U.S. bombardment on the wildlife, particularly the water birds, the WWF recently sent its survey team to Banu, Gambila, and the River Kuram in the southern parts of NWFP, which would be... it's not clear where NWFP is. Okay. Afghanistan, I believe. They sent their survey team to different parts of Afghanistan where these sensitive migratory birds, including cranes and ducks, stay for a transitory period in winter. Cranes are very sensitive, and they do not use the route if they sense any danger. Likewise, if a crane loses its mate, it takes more than 5 years to find a new mate, experts in wildlife observed. Afghanistan, a landlocked country, was very rich in flora and fauna. But the decades-long war caused massive depletion to forest resources and wildlife species. In 1983, the forest-covered area of the country was 3.4%, which decreased to 2.6% in 1989, according to official figures. In 6 years, they lost nearly 1% of their forests. of the last four.
I believe that's in relationship to the entire country.
The whole country, yes. It's horrifying. Save the Environment Afghanistan, an Afghan NGO, in its report, disclosed that the prolonged civil war, followed by severe drought, drastically affected forests and wildlife in Afghanistan. According to the Save the Environment Afghanistan report, the Ajar Valley Wildlife Reserve in central Afghanistan, Bandi Amir National Park, Abe Estada, the only breeding place of the greater flamingo in Afghanistan, and Lake Hashmat Khan to southeast of Kabul, which is the habitat of waterfowl, were all in critical condition. This appears to have been translated from Farsi, maybe, into English. Feeling the threat to the survival of snow leopards, the International Snow Leopard Trust, based in Washington State, appealed to halt the bombing. The wild animal, conservationists believed, was the indicator of high altitudinal habitats. If snow leopards exist in an area, it means that other biodiversity also exists, wildlife conservationists said, adding that the species snow leopard was found only in 12 countries, Afghanistan among them. World Wildlife Fund chief technical advisor in Peshawar, Ashiq Ahmad Khan, told Dawn that, like human beings, wildlife was also affected by the severe bombardment of Afghanistan. Khan said that U.S. warplanes were pounding positions in the south, north, and western areas of Afghanistan, which are sanctuaries for a variety of wild species, including Kabul Markhor, snow leopards, Hubara bustard, falcons, and water birds. Roughly, he said, 90% of the water birds enter Pakistan from Afghanistan. Kabul, Kandahar, and Jalalabad were the main routes for migratory birds, which were being targeted by the U.S. planes.
And that's all the time we have for news. If you want to get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, please send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's cruzief@cruzio.com. Or you can send snail mail to Earth First Radio. We're at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that address, Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance so we can get them on Earth First Radio in a timely manner. If you want more in-depth news or information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. You can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC and listen in. That's www.microradio.net/FRSC. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz, so tune in anytime. You can always find Earth First Radio archived shows on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. Or you can go to www.la.indymedia.org. That's www.la.indymedia.org. And search for Earth First Radio. This has been show number 167. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio, and it's free. Earth First Radio is produced by the Earth First Radio Collective in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Tonight, Uncle Dennis was joined by the J-Man and Blackbird. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis, and I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to some more Dana Lyons. This one's called Dead Ducks.
Well, I was walking along the beach. I came upon some ducks. A mother and her babies, they were out of luck. Their beautiful feathers were black and soiled. I realized my horror, they were covered in oil. I looked out on the ocean and to my dismay, an oil rig was drilling right there in the bay. So I turned to those poor little ducks half dead, and these are the words they said: "We're all dead ducks, quack, 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 quack. We're all dead ducks, quack, 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 quack. Whack, whack. They put oil rigs off of the coast. Ain't no one escaping the muck. We're all dead ducks. Whack, 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 whack. We're all dead ducks. Whack, 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 whack. Whack, whack. It don't matter if you got $1 million. We're all gonna be dead ducks. I picked up a rag to wipe the oil away, but those ducks, they died in my arms that day. So I called up my congressman and said, hey man, that oil is something to dread. It's warming up the planet with the greenhouse effect, and it spills in the oceans when their tanker's wrecked. But that congressman's answer gave me quite a scare. He said, we gotta drill and do our share. We're all dead ducks. We're all dead ducks. Cause if they put oil rigs off of the coast, ain't no one escaping the mob. We're all dead ducks. We're all dead ducks. It don't matter if you got $1 million, say we're all gonna be dead ducks. So now they're conducting these seismic tests. Sonic booms underwater make the whales go deaf. So I went back to the beach and screamed into the night. Say, if they wanna play dirty, let's give them a fight. We'll blockade their seismic boats at sea and soothe those bums into eternity. And in memory of those ducks who are dead, let's have that congressman's head. Don't be dead ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Don't be dead ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Cause if they put oil rigs off of the coast, ain't no one escaping the mob. Don't be dead ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Don't be dead ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
It don't matter if they've got $1 million. We're not gonna be dead ducks. It don't matter if they've got $1 billion. We're not gonna be dead ducks. It don't matter if they've got $1 quadrillion. We're not gonna be dead ducks.